This is the Thursday edition of Flick Pick. I am your host, Andrew Green. I'm joined by Jacob Holmes. This is the edition of the show where we talk about the new movies coming out each week. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we have a busy week at the box office.
Another busy week, that's right.
It's a very busy one.
It's the weekend before Christmas.
Yes, and they're bringing out some big guns, kind of.
Yeah, we've got five major films that are out at the box office right now. Four of them high profile. I'd even argue one of the four isn't even that high profile. So like three that are going to top the box office for sure.
Okay, so
maybe.
Let's jump right into it. Let's get into it with what I think is probably the biggest of them all, the superhero film opening.
Well, actually, let's start off with the one that is out right now that you can see came out yesterday.
Mary Poppins?
Yep, Mary Poppins Returns. This came out on Wednesday last night.
All right.
As we're recording this on Thursday. And so this is the long-awaited sequel. It actually does hold the record for the longest gap between sequels of movies, because the original Mary Poppins came out in 1964, and it's 2018 now, so it's been 54 years.
Wow, so this is a direct sequel, right?
Yes, this is a direct sequel to the original Disney film with Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke, all that good stuff.
It's not a remake, it's not a reboot, this is a continuation of that story.
Sort of, yes.
It takes place a ways after.
It takes place 25 years after the original movie.
Okay.
And so the two children, Jane and Michael Banks, are now grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael has, who's played by Ben Whishaw in this movie, has just lost his wife. Classic Disney trope right there, dead parents.
Right.
Has lost his wife, and so he's kind of leaving his three children. He's left to take care of his three children by himself.
Mm. Does his sister move in with him or something?
I don't know, actually. His sister is around. She's played by Emily Mortimer this time.
Okay.
And it sounds like that she's pretty much followed in her mother's footsteps from the first movie where their mother was campaigning for women's suffrage,
right?
Because that movie took place in the early 1900s, but so she's doesn't have her own family. She's just kind of there.
Okay,
she's the Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, see, it's a Full House situation.
Yeah. Oh, I hope that the comparisons end there. So, right. The Banks family—they're on really, really hard times, and all of a sudden, Mary Poppins comes in once again to make everything better.
She comes flying in out of the sky with her umbrella.
Yep,
and
yep.
This looks really good, I think.
This movie was directed by Rob Marshall, whose last movie with Disney was Into the Woods.
Okay.
An adaptation of one of my favorite musicals ever. And I thought they did a decent job, about as good a job they could with Disney making it.
Okay.
But he also directed Chicago, another one of my favorite movie musicals. So they got all the right talent for this movie. Mary Poppins, it should be noted this time around, is played by Emily Blunt.
I think that's a good choice.
It's a really good choice. Honestly, first off, I should say that this movie is getting a fairly good response from critics. The general consensus that I'm seeing is that everybody thinks Emily Blunt was perfect for this role. She does a really good job of making it her own, but using Julie Andrews' version kind of as the foundation or the building blocks, and she does her own thing with it. And a lot of people are actually saying that her interpretation is a little closer to the original Mary Poppins books.
Okay.
So
would P.L. Travers be happier with this one?
this is where things get a little dicey if you think about it too much. So if you're not familiar with the story, long story short, P.L. Travers, the author of the original Mary Poppins books, did not like the original Disney movie.
No, and
that's
it was
the nice version.
And it was the subject of a film in 2013 or 14.
It was 2013 that Disney made themselves.
Called Saving Mr. Banks. And it's a great movie, actually.
It's a good movie, but it's definitely got a lens on it.
Oh, sure. They put on some rose-colored glasses, but... So if you want to learn the story behind the scenes of the original Mary Poppins,
you can start there, but you're better off for the true story, looking it up on your own. But she hated it so much she said that she had such a bad experience working with Disney that she refused to let them make any more movies based on her works. And she even had it, I believe, as story is, she had it in her will that she did not want Disney touching this again.
Oh, but they've gone and made a sequel.
They must have worked out some deal with her estate because she didn't have any heirs. She didn't have any children. So I don't know how they managed to do this, but yeah, if you think about it a little too hard, it is kind of gross.
Yeah,
that,
well,
this movie exists.
You know what? Mary Poppins is a film many people grew up with.
And oh yeah,
it's a loved, it's a beloved classic. So I'm not gonna.
Yeah, you might be compromising some morals to support it, but
she's dead.
Wow, so. That was surprisingly cold. Also, it goes without saying that this movie is also a musical.
Okay.
The original movie songs were written by the Sherman Brothers, who were Disney mainstays for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're not anymore. One of the Sherman Brothers died several years ago, and mm-hmm. the other one's retired. So they brought in the same person who wrote the songs for Hairspray and a whole bunch of other Broadway hits.
Okay.
And another Broadway veteran, Lin-Manuel Miranda,
right,
is in this movie. He plays Jack, a lamplighter who is an apprentice to Bert, Dick Van Dyke's character from the original movie. And he's got the kind of funny Cockney accent. And although,
does he get the accent down better than Dick Van
Dyke's? It's better than Dick Van Dyke's, but it's still a little exaggerated, I think, maybe for a little consistency's sake.
Okay.
So you're probably thinking, this all sounds kind of familiar, and that is a kind of point of division among the critics, is that they kind of do it to Mary Poppins what The Force Awakens did with Star Wars.
They just did the same thing.
It's very similar to the same thing, but it's not a straight up remake. It's just a riff on the familiar, on the beats of the original.
That's
and fine. I'm okay with that, as long as it's done well.
Right, if the film's enjoyable, you know. So now, does Dick Van Dyke make
a
cameo?
Yes, Dick Van Dyke does make a cameo in this movie.
I think I saw him dancing on a desk or
something.
Yeah,
he's pretty much playing the same. So he played two characters in the original movie. He was Bert, and then he was also the old boss of the children's father.
Okay.
And he's playing the one who died laughing at Mr. Banks' joke.
Okay.
If you remember that from the original movie.
Okay, yeah, it's coming back to me.
And so Dick Van Dyke is playing that character's son, who is in that the original movie also. It's basically the same character.
Interesting. So, you know, the reaction to this sounds like it's been kind of positive.
Yeah, fairly positive for the most part.
There's some naysayers, but there always are. And I assume you're going to see this.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to see this. I'm trying to see this with my family over the holidays.
Right, I'm going to see if my mom wants to see me.
And that's the kind of movie this is. It's the kind of movie the whole family can go out to and enjoy around the holidays. It's just that kind of movie.
Great, so it's Mary Poppins Returns. I think it'll do well.
Yeah, Meryl Streep is also in this movie, and Colin Firth and Angela Lansbury. It's a loaded cast. They got a lot of people for this.
So they pulled out all the stops.
Yeah, they pulled out all the stops, and I would be... I'm curious. It wouldn't be funny if Meryl Streep gets like an Academy Award nomination just for showing up in this movie.
She's in it for a total of 45 seconds and gets nominated for Best
Actress. I think that was Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, yeah?
Why she gets nominated for that?
Well, you know, maybe Emily Blunt will get a nomination out of it.
You know what? Maybe.
Was she nominated for a Golden Globe?
Yes, she was.
Okay.
As was Lin-Manuel Miranda. I don't know if he'll make it into the Oscars, but I can certainly see Emily Blunt making it in for this movie.
Right. So that's one of your options. By the way, this recent trend of Disney remaking many of their old films, it bleeds over into their animated films. So there was an announcement this week of Aladdin, the live action.
Well, no, we knew about it for a while. They put out a teaser in a month ago.
Right.
But now we're getting like actual official photos, and don't get me started.
No, but by the way, the reason why I mentioned that is the director of Mary Poppins Returns, Rob Marshall, is also the director of The Little Mermaid.
Well, that's not official.
No?
I don't think that's official yet, but I think that...
Yeah, it says announced. Announced on his IMDb, so
maybe the story is that they're too early in the production of that to say a whole lot of stuff about it. But I do know that they For that movie, they're bringing back Alan Menken, who the songwriter on that movie, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to work on the songs for that as well. So we'll see.
All right, so that's Mary Poppins Returns. Now another new film this weekend is a superhero film,
and this movie is the one that's expected to win the box office.
I would consider it likely. It's Aquaman.
Yeah, Aquaman.
All right.
So this is the latest DC film. After, I think this is the first one after Justice League.
Yes.
I think it is.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been a while. DC doesn't crank out these movies as much as Marvel does.
No.
Mostly because they're still trying to figure out their strategy with them. But
it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. But they had one major success, major critical and commercial success with Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got the next solo outing after Justice League, Aquaman. This stars Jason Momoa, who reprises the role from Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where to start with this movie because apparently there's a lot to talk about with it.
Well, is it an origin story? It looks like it is.
His origin story is in there, but this takes place after Justice League.
Okay. So what does he have to save the world now?
He saves the world. He has to save the world. He has to save his home world of Atlantis. So let's start from the beginning. This movie is directed by James Wan.
James Wan
of Insidious and The Conjuring,
a solid horror.
Furious
film.
Seven.
Yeah, he did Furious Seven.
So he's kind of transitioning into bigger budget, high profile movies, and he seems to have made that transition pretty well. Mm-hmm. Furious Seven is one of the best reviewed of that series, and now he's making the leap into superhero films with Aquaman, we've got Jason Momoa, as I said. Nicole Kidman is in this movie playing Aquaman's mother. Amber Heard is in this movie, hot off of London Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
Was in theaters for a week.
That was that mystery movie that came out this year.
Patrick Wilson, James Wan mainstay from The Conjuring, is in this movie. He plays the villain, one of the villains, Aquaman's half-brother Orm, who wants to rule Atlantis and take over the world with sea creatures. And Willem Dafoe is in this movie. He plays Aquaman's mentor.
Okay.
And there's just a whole other host of characters. The DC villain Black Manta makes an appearance in this movie. There's just so much that it appears that there's just so much that happens.
Yeah, looking at the trailer, you can tell it's a bit loaded. There's a lot going on here.
And but the one thing I will say though, it looks amazing. Like
it does.
Visually, it looks amazing. And I hear that's the consensus. The critics are kind of split on this one.
Hmm.
It's rocking a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. So critics are either totally on board with this movie or they're not. And the general consensus seems to be that it is extremely loaded. It's kind of insane.
It's long too.
It's 2.5. It's about a 2.5 hour long movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either going to be totally on board for the craziness and insanity of it all, or you're not.
I'm on board right now.
I'm on board for it.
I'll be seeing this, and I can't wait for early next week when the box office numbers come out, and every headline about Aquaman makes some kind of water pun. Like
Aquaman makes a splash.
Or Aquaman sinks or something like that.
It's not going to sink. This movie's going to do pretty well.
I think it probably will do better than even a lot of people are expecting.
It's going to do better than Justice League.
Oh,
that's,
definitely.
that's the benchmark we're at.
And I think a big reason why is Jason Momoa is Aquaman.
You know, I was kind of lukewarm on him in Justice League, but a lot of critics are saying that he's one of the better parts of it. And I don't know how I wasn't quite on board with his characterization in Justice League. But when I started seeing the trailers for Aquaman, I'm like, okay, they're kind of he's kind of reining in some of the personality that he gave this character,
kind of a dude bro personality.
Yeah, the dude bro, yeah, personality, and that's certainly still there, but it looks a little more reined in.
Right, right, and that Jason Momoa is a tall glass of water.
I was talking adult friends last night, and they were talking about how I was wanted to see Aquaman, and she was like, I want to see Aquaman and see Aquaman.
Right. So there you go. He's got his fans. So Aquaman, I'm optimistic. I'll check it out.
I'm optimistic too.
It should be fun. I've seen one or two.
It'll certainly be it'll certainly be an interesting movie-going experience, no matter what.
I want to know what DC does with all these movies going forward.
We got Shazam coming after this,
right?
In April.
Who plays Shazam?
Zachary Levi.
Okay.
Well, Chuck. NBC's Chuck. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's that guy.
All right. And Wonder Woman 2 is like, it's already
2020.
It's post-production, or they finished with it yet?
I think they're still in the process of filming it. It got delayed to 2020.
Okay. So we still got at least two of those movies coming. Anyway, so that's Aquaman. Let's keep moving forward here. Another new high-profile film that's opening up is from the Transformers universe.
Yeah. So Boy, talk about some redemption right here. So this is Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
This isn't Transformers 6. Mm-hmm. This is it's a prequel. Or a prequel, and from what I've heard, it's actually kind of a reboot at the same time. So this is an origin story for the Transformer Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
At least origin in the cinematic Transformers world.
And to remind people, Bumblebee was the little yellow.
Yes, he was the yellow one who speaks through the radio because his voice was destroyed.
Okay.
So Bumblebee takes place in the 80s. In San Francisco, it looks like. Looking at the poster, I see the Golden Gate Bridge on it.
All right.
He crash lands on Earth from the Transformers planet of Cybertron, which, if you're a Transformers fan, it's the whole backstory of the Transformers, the war between the Autobots and the Decepticons destroyed their planet.
All right.
So Bumblebee crash lands on Earth before any of the other Autobots do, and some Decepticons come after him, but he's found by an older teenage girl played by Hailee Steinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better young actresses working today.
Yeah, I really like her a lot. And she finds what she thinks that she's just finding a
she
yellow.
She thinks she's just buying a car. It's much like the first Transformers movie when Shia LaBeouf bought the Bumblebee as a 70s Camaro. Now he's like a bug.
Yeah, he's
a VW bug.
Yeah, she finds him at a junkyard, brings him home, and he transforms into the robot.
And he reveals himself to be the Transformer robot.
And then a bunch of stuff happens.
Yep. The military comes looking after him, as do a handful of Decepticons. John Cena plays the main military guy. That's fun to see him in one of these.
Mm-hmm.
When this movie was announced, by the way, this is just a year and a half after Transformers 5, The Last Night, which everybody was like, that was the movie that like kind of proved that we as a like at least in America were done with the Transformers movies, at least Michael Bay's Transformers movies.
Now, is Michael Bay associated with this Bumblebee film?
I think he's a producer. I think he's an executive producer. But he's not for the first time in the whole franchise, he's not directing.
Oh.
This movie is directed by Travis Knight, whose last feature was Kubo and the Two Strings. He comes from the stop-motion animation studio Laika, one of my favorite animation studios. I loved Kubo and the Two Strings. That's probably my second favorite movie from them after Coraline. So as soon as I saw that he was directing this is his live-action debut, I was like, okay, you've got my interest. And even the trailers for this, when they first came out, people were like, oh,
yeah,
this looks good.
That happened to me. I got, you know, I saw one of the Transformers movies. I don't remember which one.
I stopped watching them after 3.
Well, I saw one. And after that, I was like, no, I don't need to see any of these. But when I got the trailer for Bumblebee, it looked a little better than those other films. You could just kind of tell.
Like, there was a heart to it.
Right. And plus, it has Hailee Steinfeld. So,
yeah,
that's automatically.
Well, I mean, Michael Bay took good actors and plopped them into the Transformers movies and, you know, gave them a stain mark on their careers. So
it's good that Michael Bay didn't direct this one.
Right.
What's the buzz on Bumblebee?
Very good. It's actually the best reviewed movie coming out this weekend.
Wow.
94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey,
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
We may have a winner here.
We may finally have a winner in the Transformers franchise. And it's a shame because people are expecting this to be the lowest grossing Transformers movie.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, like, okay, there's a lot of things I want to see this weekend and throughout the Christmas break.
Right.
And I may have to work Bumblebee in there somehow now because I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, all the critics are saying, like, if you like the original Transformers cartoon, this is the movie that you've been waiting for. This is the movie that best captures what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, silliness and all.
Right. When I was I remember being in the first grade, I would watch Transformers, the original cartoon, before school every day.
Did you see the movie of the cartoon where Optimus Prime dies in the first half hour?
I did not see that in the theater. I ended up seeing it on video some years later. But by then, I knew Optimus Prime was going to die.
The news had already traveled. Man, remember living in a world without the internet and spoilers like that didn't happen?
Yeah, it took a while for spoilers to get around back then. It sounds to me like you don't need to have seen any of the other Transformers.
Okay. So you don't need to put yourself through that torture.
Don't torture yourself. Just go check out Bumblebee. And then pretend there's no other Transformers films.
Exactly.
Or maybe the first
one. I really hope that if this movie does well enough that they continue on the road they're going with this. I hope we get more Transformers movies that are like Bumblebee, they're silly and there's only so much you can do with something like Transformers, but at least make it have a heart.
That was the thing
about Michael Bay. It was just the most soulless movies you could ever watch.
Yeah, they always had a grimy look to them. Michael Bay's films, and you know, he'd get these young actresses and
shoot them. He was questionably,
he would do that. So let's start over again. You know, Bumblebee could be the start of a beautiful new franchise. Maybe
I hope I can. I can only hope so.
All right, so that's a new option this weekend. Now, the fourth new film. Oh, it's one with Steve Carell.
Right. So you could argue this one's high profile because of Steve Carell. And also, this is the new movie from Robert Zemeckis.
Right.
The director who made Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, still one of my favorite movies to this day. Castaway, Polar Express, all those movies.
Oh, yeah.
A lot, Forrest Gump, a lot of beloved movies. This is new movie, Welcome to Marwen.
Welcome.
And this is based on a true story. And based on a documentary about the true story about a guy whose name, I believe, Mark Hogenkamp, who was attacked outside of a bar to the point that he lost a lot of his memory.
Right. Was it like a hate crime when he was
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know enough about the story to comment on that. But he lost a lot of his memory, and to help cope with it, he created his own world outside his house, using like toys and miniature figures, and just made this whole town out of it.
Right, which is called Marwen.
Yeah, or Marwen Call, I think is what it was named in real life.
So it becomes an art installation, it looks like, in the film, where people come to check out this, because he was a photographer, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
And he kind of loses his eye for that or something, but he invents a new art form for himself, coping with his traumatic attack by building this little, World War II type town out of dolls.
And in the movie, it's presented that he kind of starts living vicariously through the world that he creates for the miniature figures and the miniature town.
Right. It helps him cope with.
Yeah. Yeah. So on paper, this sounds like exactly the kind of movie that Robert Zemeckis would make. And on paper, it sounds like something that would be pretty successful.
Right.
That's not the case, apparently.
Oh, no, the buzz is not good?
No, the buzz is not good on this. Honestly, I kind of anticipated that going in. Watching the trailers for this movie, it seemed pretty schmaltzy. Hollywood schmaltz.
It does. I got to tell you, to be honest, I got a little annoyed with the trailer.
the buzz is not good on this. The critics mostly say it's well intentioned. It's an interesting experiment because the adventures that he invents for the town they're presented in like these CG animated scenes,
right? And people he knows in real life have like a doll.
They become characters in the town. That's another thing. This movie's got a pretty good cast. So there's Steve Carell, as we mentioned. Leslie Mann is in this as his neighbor.
Yep.
Diane Kruger, Janelle Monáe.
Right, I like her.
Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones is in this.
Which one is she?
Gwendolyn Christie?
On Game of Thrones.
Oh, Brienne of Tarth.
Okay.
Good cast. It's just one of those movies that, well intentioned, it just went really wrong.
Yeah, it's a little too sappy, maybe.
Yeah,
a little too emotional.
And Robert Zemeckis is the big thing about what makes him kind of an iconic director, not just the movies that he makes, but he's one of those directors that is always with his movies. There's always like. he's always trying to do something new. Like, he's always trying to introduce something kind of, I don't want to say groundbreaking,
right,
to it. Or he's just trying to, like, push the boundaries of what you can do on film. I think that's what I was trying to say. Like, so with Back to the Future, the effects and the presentation of that trilogy, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know, elevating the mix of live action and animation.
Forrest Gump, obviously, for a variety of reasons.
Right. Love it or hate it, Polar Express, the motion capture animation.
Okay. Did he do Flight with Denzel Washington?
Yes, okay. Flight was Flight. Yeah, he did Flight.
All right. You know, when you want to be a groundbreaking director, you're not going to have a hit every time.
No, you're not. And actually, Robert Zemeckis is looking. I look back at his filmography before we started recording this, and as of late, he's been very, very hit or miss.
Has he?
Yeah.
Let's see. His most.
It's like for every good movie, there's a bad one. Kind of like Ridley Scott.
Yeah, his most recent film was Allied. I saw that. That was a World War II
drama. I didn't see that movie.
And The Walk, Flight.
I saw The Walk. I liked The Walk, but only if you saw that, like, in the theater and in 3D, the way it was meant to be seen.
Oh, is that the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yep, the man who walked between the World Trade Center towers when they were first being built.
I was afraid to see that, just because he's walking on a tightrope between the World Trade Center
towers. Oh, okay. You don't do well with that?
I don't know if I... normally, I don't have that bad of a problem with heights, but I might have... I might have, like, passed out at that movie or something. Anyway... So that's Welcome to Marwen. If you want to see it, you know, go for it. But it doesn't have the greatest buzz. And then the final new film this weekend is a comedy with Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez romantic comedy called Second Act. I think that's what it was called.
Second Act.
Yeah, Second Act. I know next to nothing about this movie. I've not gotten a trailer for it.
I've gotten many trailers for this.
Okay.
Actually, so I guess I could talk about this.
Yes,
one.
Please tell me what this movie's about.
All right, well... It's a comedy. I guess it's a romantic comedy. Jennifer Lopez plays a woman who is like an assistant manager at some kind of small-time department store or something. And she's really resentful of the fact that because she didn't have an opportunity to, you know, go to a fancy business school, she's never going to be able to rise
very
high.
She's stuck where she's at.
Yes. And so some friend of hers creates a fake, resume for her and website, you know, presenting her as though she's a really high-powered a business person who's gone to Harvard and all this stuff when none of that's true.
Okay, it's one of these movies.
And she finds a high-profile job at some company and has to kind of...
Pretend?
Yeah, pretend. She's doing that, and it's a comedy, and...
This seems like the kind of movie that, again, means well,
mm-hmm.
but like that I could very easily see bungling the execution.
Right, and it's strange to me that this weekend, of all weekends...
It's just being put right in there.
Yeah, like if they had released this in March or something, I bet it would do pretty well.
Yeah, I think this movie's going to get
it's going to be buried, because it's coming out against Bumblebee, Aquaman.
Aquaman and Mary Poppins, and Bumblebee, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is still out.
That's right, Wreck-It Ralph is still playing. So, things aren't looking too good for Second Act with... Jennifer Lopez.
But maybe they're not expecting it to. Maybe this was produced at a pretty reasonable budget or a pretty modest budget, and it doesn't need to do really well.
Maybe, and you know, it could be a film with heart. I don't know. I like Jennifer Lopez.
I don't know. These movies do not appeal to me, so I will be skipping this movie.
Budget $16 million, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, it'll be fine.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. It's also got Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, I see that.
Leah Remini is in it.
Milo Ventimiglia, Jack from This Is Us, for those of you who watch that show.
Okay.
Dave
Foley is.
Yeah,
it?
I was gonna say Dave Foley. I only know him as Flick from A Bug's Life.
I know him as from the Kids in the Hall. He was a.
No, that's interesting to see him popping up in something again.
All right. Well.
Well, that's that second act. We don't have a whole lot to say about that one.
If you want to see it, go for it. There won't be many people there, but that's okay.
All the J-Lo fans.
All the J-Lo fans. And I guess if someone's in the mood for a comedy, is Instant Family still going? No, it's not. So looking at the weekend box office here, we'll go over everything else playing. But of the new releases, your pick would be?
I'm going to say Mary Poppins.
Okay, then I'll say Aquaman, just to wish some...
Goodwill towards DC. I wish DC goodwill, too.
All right. So, overall, everything that's playing this weekend, you know, there's Aquaman, obviously. Bohemian Rhapsody has a couple of showtimes. That's decent enough. Bumblebee, which sounds really good. It's got a ton of showtimes. The Grinch is still going with a couple of showtimes.
I think that might be the only Christmas movie still playing.
We'll find out as we go further down the list here. Green Book is still going. That's tomorrow's Flick Pick review. It's an enjoyable film. Mary Poppins, of course, playing. Mortal Engines has 3 showtimes still.
Yeah, that's going to be gone pretty soon.
Didn't that open at like number 7 or
yep.
something?
Yep, or number 5 or something. It was bad.
It didn't do very
it
well.
It was a bad opening.
Deadpool, Once Upon a Time is still happening.
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Once Upon a Deadpool. It has 1 showtime, so.
I didn't expect that to stick around long. I thought it was kind of a limited engagement thing anyway.
Right. There's 1 showtime left for Ralph Breaks the Internet.
That's interesting.
Second act's going. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I saw that last weekend. That's a great... That's probably the best movie, period, in theaters right now.
Yeah, I know you're a big spider guy, so you were pleased with it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm wanting to go back to see it a second time.
Great. Well, maybe it'll stick around long enough for you to be able to do that.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Also playing is The Mule. Now, I want to work this in somewhere.
I know, weekend. I do too.
A lot of people seem to want to see this Clint Eastwood film. And the reaction's been okay, from what I understand. Welcome to Marwin is opening, and that's everything playing at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor. You know where I'll be on Saturday.
Where will you be?
I'll be at the Vickers Theater in Three Oaks because
oh, yeah, that's right. I tipped you off to this.
They are showing Can You Ever Forgive Me? The film that I've wanted to see all year.
And it's been in Three Oaks this whole time.
Right, and you know, I checked I'm going to go to Detroit this coming week for Christmas. I checked the movie theaters there.
And they're showing it?
Well, they're showing it this week, but not after this Friday.
Oh.
So if I'm going to see this, I'm going to run down to Three Oaks to check out Can You Ever Forgive Me this weekend. And then watch, it'll open at Celebration next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
But oh, boy.
Anyway.
If it gets Oscar nominations, that'll definitely happen.
It probably will. And if it's good enough, I'll want to see it a second time. All right, so that's the weekend box office. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, we pretty much talked your ears off with all the movies.
32 minutes we're at. I don't think that's our longest. But anyway, that's about all we got to say. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Thursday edition of Flick Pick. I'll be back tomorrow with a review of Green Book.